That's kind of conversation between the soul. That's conversation between the soul and the night.
Hello, Prestige Heads, and welcome to American Prestige. I'm Danny Bessner, here as always with my friend and comrade, Derek Davison. And we're very excited to welcome back to the podcast today, Dan Hummel. Dan is the director of the Lumen Center in Madison, Wisconsin, as well as a research fellow in the history department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So Dan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, happy to be with you for the third installment of this saga.
The third installment of the Christian Zionism series. So last time we left off around the Oslo Accords. So that seems like a good place to start. So why don't you situate Christian Zionism in the early 1990s and then in the lead up to Oslo and how Oslo informed the development of this increasingly important movement?
Yeah, so the Oslo process, starting with the Oslo Accords in 1992, was basically the best shot that that the diplomatic world gave to trying to create a diplomatic, sort of comprehensive peace settlement that would recognize a Palestinian state alongside an Israeli state and try to solve all of the longstanding issues around borders and though they never got to it on issues like right of return and other things. Those were all sort of kicked down the road. But they were the intention was to solve all these problems. And so this is the famous shots of Clinton with Yasser Arafat and Yitzhak Rabin come out of that process. This whole process was seen by Christian Zionists or by evangelicals who were invested in Israel as a problematic process, the one that they were willing to go along with partially, but they saw it largely as a secular process. You could see it that way, that this was sort of the secular side of Israeli politics. Rabin was part of the longer standing labor movement. And Arafat represented a more secular Palestinian nationalist movement. Well, and Clinton was no friend of the evangelicals either. So they didn't much trust him either. But they saw this process as not really calculating the religious significance of the conflict, of the land, and of the longstanding religious claims, particularly by Jews on the land. And so they were
Daniel, just a quick clarification question. So did they want a greater Israel? Did they want Israel to have full sovereignty in the West Bank and Gaza? I'm just curious, like, what was the idea?
Yes. Yeah. They even use that term greater Israel. So the idea that Israel was had a divine right, a historic right to all the land apportioned it in the biblical accounts. And this was something that they actually aligned with the Israeli right on, though the Israeli right.
So east of the Jordan River, right? That's the big one, the east of the Jordan River.
That's right. This even goes back, this was, Menachem Begin negotiated the Camp David Accords and gave the Sinai Peninsula back to Egypt that Israel had conquered in the 67 war. That was also a point of contention because that was seen by some on the right as rightfully part of the greater Israel. But the Oslo process did not acknowledge the greater Israel concept. It was one of the major reasons it was contentious within Israeli society. And evangelicals, those that were really interested in this and sort of connected with some of the Israeli right, were very invested in making sure that this process did not end up with a Israel that had given away, in their view, a lot of the sacred land. So part of this was critiquing Rabin in American media in 1992, 1994, periods like that. Rabin is assassinated in 1995 by a right-wing Israeli, largely because of his advancing of the peace process. And evangelicals in the U.S. looked at that and both lamented the loss of a great leader, but also saw this as, in some quarters, as divine retribution for moving Israel into a process that was going to give away some of its biblically apportioned land. And evangelicals were much more sort of aligned with the Israeli right as it was emerging in 1995, 1996, and ultimately...